Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And welcome back to Overnight America. And I want to thank you who may be the person listening somewhere in a lounger in the living room. You may be in a semi driving cross country and you want to listen to something all night and don't want to be switching around and you found 1120 AM. That's really nice. Or maybe you're streaming online through the radio.com app. All the great options. Or maybe you're listening back after the fact. You know, we're here in St. Louis, Missouri at night, but you may be listening during the day, like my parents do up in Michigan, by going to KMOX.com/ONA. You can follow me on Twitter at Ryan Recker. And if you miss any part of the show, just download it. Just download it. That's it. It's pretty easy instructions. What are you doing already? Why don't you just download it already? So in just a moment, we're going to talk to someone about workforces and how they've been divided. Surveys are saying that there's an alarming rise of politics at work. Now, just last week was Thanksgiving. Sure, I get that. During the Thanksgiving time, I'm sure you and your relatives talked about it. But what about in the office itself? Joining us now is the CEO and president of the Society for Human Resource Management, Johnny C. Taylor. Thank you so much for coming on to Overnight America.
I'm glad to be with you. How are you?
Good. So the culture report is out, and you guys look at how there have been some toxic workplace cultures based on political talks inside the workplace anymore. And it seems like a lot of people experience this no matter where they are.
Well, and a lot more than we anticipated. To be fair, you know, we went into this culture report not specifically focused on politics at work, but we thought we'd, of course, hear about sexual harassment and race-based discrimination in the workplace, hostile work environments, et cetera. We thought that we'd hear that managers, some people weren't particularly good at being managers. Just because they were good at engineers didn't mean they'd be a great manager of engineers. But what surprised us was the presence of comments, a lot of them around toxicity, that resulted from political discussions at work. In fact, 42% of American employees told us that they've actually personally experienced political fights in the workplace, some verbal, some physical. But the fact that people use the term fighting in the workplace over politics, almost one in two American employees, was disturbing.
Well, that means they have the opportunity to talk to their other employers, or employees, I should say, the people that are around. They have these free conversations. They may feel like it's an all right conversation for them to have because they're friendly with them. I'm kind of surprised, though. I think part of the survey, Politics at Work survey, 42% of American employees have personally experienced political disagreements in the workplace. So how heated do these disagreements actually get?
Well, that's the point. They actually become quite acrimonious. And as I said, the term that we saw was fight. Now, fight doesn't always mean a physical fight, but, you know, verbal fights can be really damaging, you know, damaging a person's self-esteem, et cetera, and clearly don't do great things for overall culture in the workplace. And that's a big number. We also found in this research that a majority of employees are now saying that political discussions have become more common at work in the last 4 years. And if you think about this, a decade or so ago, there was an unspoken rule, in some instances actually a real rule, that said you didn't talk about politics, religion. Those sorts of topics were just taboo for work. And now they're commonplace. Everyone's talking about them. And we as employers now have to recognize that because these conversations are occurring, we've got to figure out how to facilitate them to keep them civil so that we don't destroy and ruin our cultures.
Mm-hmm. CEO and president of the Society for Human Resource Management, Johnny C. Taylor, joining us. So you're saying that you have to find a way to, like, wrangle these conversations as opposed to just trying to stop them altogether?
Well, right. It's not, you just naive to believe that you can stop these conversations in a 24-hour news cycle. I mean, here we are at night, you know, talking about politics and between an upcoming election and impeachment discussions, et cetera. It's everywhere. Social media has probably added to this. So, you know, it's just not the formal news. It's everyone's conversation is the latest in politics. And therefore, these things seep into work. And in fact, it appears that they're flooding into work now, because, as I said, a majority of American employees are saying they're having, these are common now at work.
Are people leaving workplaces because of these conversations? They're just saying, I'm done with it. It's a disagreement comes up day after day after day, and they're like, you know what, I'm just through. Are people leaving because of that?
They are, but not because of the conversations per se, but because the conversations become so toxic, because they, you know, people can't disagree without becoming disagreeable. So people are not bothered with the idea that other people will have different perspectives and political biases or affiliation. What they're bothered by is that, frankly, you're really attacked if you are not part of the majority, if your culture is one that does not make people feel included. In fact, our research found that more than a third of employees say their workplace is not inclusive of differing political perspectives. That's why people leave.
Interesting. So what would be something that would be considered toxic versus something that is not toxic?
So when you walk into the office and the day after the election and your candidate won and the other person's didn't, and they began attacking that person, more importantly, attacking people who voted for that person. And we've seen this as commonplace. You know, if you voted for this person, you're subhuman. I mean, you hear things like that, and you can't help but personalize those things, because they're intended to be personal attacks. And that's what we're seeing.
So if they're intended to, some people don't even know they're doing that way, though, right? They feel like it's just, I'm repeating something else I heard, or they don't necessarily understand some of these things are direct attacks to other people.
I don't know. 12% of the people that we surveyed said that they personally experienced political affiliation bias in the workplace. That's a little different than just in passing. You're talking 1 in 10 workers are saying, you know, I've gone to apply for a job, for example, and the person looked at my resume and saw that I worked on this campaign, made certain assumptions about my political affiliation, and therefore excluded me from the job. I've worked for a manager who voted differently than I did, and all of a sudden, after revealing that in a conversation, I didn't get the promotions, I didn't get the invitations to lunch, et cetera. So it's a real issue. And if you stop and think, if we heard that 1 in 10 women or 1 in 10 African Americans or 1 in 10 anything were experiencing bias in the workplace, we'd do something about it. And we wouldn't dismiss it simply as, well, people don't know that they're hurting you. We'd say, well, in fact, if you're being, if you're made to feel this way, then we've got to do something about it. And that's what this study is all about. Whether it's intended or not, the impact is pretty significant nonetheless.
So the survey is a Politics at Work survey. It was fielded in October, and you have the 2009 Culture Report. Where can people find these if they wanted to check it out for themselves?
Yes. So we set up a sort of microsite, if you will. SHRM.org is always the place to find all sorts of information, but specifically, we've set up a Let's Talk Work Culture is the website, Talk Work Culture. And it's an opportunity not only to get the report, but also and dissect it and figure out what's going on and how it applies to your workplace. More importantly, it's to provide tools to people managers, not just HR professionals, but anyone who manages people, to say, how can I ensure that this is not my workplace? Let me see how I can facilitate conversations. I can teach people not to over-talk, not to yell people, not silence people simply because I don't agree. So in short, it's an opportunity to provide tools for it, equipping managers to be better at what they do.
CEO and president of the Society for Human Resource Management. What's the website one more time where they can find that report?
TalkWorkCulture.com.
Perfect. Their CEO and president, Johnny C. Taylor, thank you so much for coming on to Overnight America.
Thank you. Good night.
Oh, very interesting. He joins us on the Quiver River Electric KMOX guest line. You got to watch out for those things, I guess. I feel like I still have other questions, but he said he had to leave by, 15 after, so I couldn't really keep him much longer. But people interpret workplace conversations differently. So if I were to walk in with a Make America Great Again hat in a workplace, someone sees that, they look at that as a personal attack on themselves, even though it's just, a phrase on a hat. But, I think people interpret things differently, so that's why I'm curious about how you take sides in that. Well, I wanted to look at some of the sports things that have come up over the last couple of hours, or days, I should say, and just recently, tax credits were discussed in Jefferson City about the new Major League Soccer stadium. Let's talk about that. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
St. Louis's traffic station, KMOX.
If you're one of the lawyers representing St. Louis when it comes to the NFL, Stan Kroenke, and the shady business that went down there, I'd be feeling pretty good about myself right about now. So you can find this story at KMOX.com. Avoiding embarrassment might be enough to make Kroenke pay up. I love it. Yeah, it makes sense. Go ahead. Let's get all of your records. Let's make it public for people to see what went down and just see how... Let's just see how much integrity you actually have. And when they find out you have no integrity, that's not going to bode well. So what does that mean? Well, there's a couple of things. One, we could make sure everyone knows just how shady everything really is. Let that be public, and then you'd lose anyway. Or you can just settle this now, write a check, and be done with it. St. Louis is going to come out a winner, it seems like, with all of this. So fear of embarrassment or legal exposure by NFL owners could mean some big money coming St. Louis's way. And it's not just the Stan Kroenke Chronicles. It's all the other owners that may have been involved when it came to luring the Rams out of St. Louis, maybe the dealings that they had in Los Angeles, when in the end, they're trying to double deal, saying, no, go ahead, do all of these things, spend all of this money, try all of these things. We're keeping you on the forefront. Oh, no, you're still in contention, when he really wasn't. Really no contention there. If I were the lawyers of the, representing the city against the NFL, against Stan Kroenke, after I get all the news that this isn't going to go to arbitration, this is going to be made public, we're going to get discovery, we're going to get the documents, I would have walked into the clients, I would have walked into anyone that may have hired me, maybe it's the mayor's office, whoever it is, to give them an update, and I would have sang this song to them.
Here comes the money.
Here we go. Money talk.
Here comes the money. I would just let them know, here comes the money, because at this point, it's coming, St. Louis. You're on the fast track, looking pretty good. Yeah, here comes the money. I don't know if lawyers brag like that. That would be really them spiking the ball, wouldn't it? There's another story at KMOV, and this was reported a little bit earlier. And it has to do with the Major League Soccer Stadium. The renderings came out not that long ago, at least more official renderings. And when that happened, there was a little bit of a surprise there. You know what the surprise was? That the actual stadium itself was going to be on the other side of Market. Originally, they thought it was going to be on the same side as Union Station. Now it's Kitty Corner, and you still see these renderings and how they're deciding to put this together. It's really cool. Looks beautiful. We knew all along that in order to make this happen, because we had a public vote here and they said, no, we're not going to be throwing all this tax money into a Major League Soccer team and stadium. They found another way to fund it. And altogether, they're doing everything they can to do it. But they said, we need a little bit of help. What about some of this land? Can you get some of this land for us to save us a couple of bucks here if we're going to be putting $400 million down to build this thing? We're going to do we got to pay all the fees. We got to pay for this, and we got to do this for Major League Soccer and do that. If we're going to get local ownership, female-owned ownership, which is pretty impressive because it hasn't been done in Major League Soccer, and let's look at all of these things. And yeah, that's the reason why St. Louis was awarded a franchise, because they were able to get all this stuff together. Now, officially, they're pushing this through, and part of the deal was to apply for some tax credits. And that's what they're doing in Jefferson City. It's estimated, 47-page application shares the construction, estimates it'll take about 25 months to build this thing. It'll be really cool to see this thing go up, won't it? So let me do this real quick. KMOV did a write-up on that.
This land north of Market is planned to be transformed into a Major League Soccer stadium by March 2022.
It definitely is going to bring a lot more tourists here, especially the ones who are really big soccer fans.
The planned site is expected to break ground in January and sits near Union Station.
I think it'll be great. There's
kind
a lot going on.
Right across kitty corner to it. And what's weird is I use that ramp sometimes. It doesn't look like you can fit a full stadium in that area, but I guess you can. It's deceptive in that whole area. Isn't it? Just eyeballing it, you look at it and you say, how are they going to fit an entire soccer stadium right there? How's that going to happen? Well, I guess you can.
Down there, and it'll just help grow the area.
Wouldn't that be embarrassing if they actually go and they build this thing and they realize, ooh, we miscalculated this.
Application to the Missouri Development Finance Board is asking for $15 million in credits for 2019 and again in 2020. It says the stadium will host 636 permanent jobs and 2,179 temporary jobs.
All right, this is totally worth it. What a good deal. Now, they're asking for tax credits in order to get this thing going, and they're only asking for 2 years of tax credits, $15 million, $15 million. Now, think of it this way. This is money that, when they're asking for the credits, it's a credit, okay, which means that there is going to be income generated based on it. They can't just, you know, take it and do nothing with it or anything like that. It has to be applied when they're putting their taxes in at the end of the year, just like you would any other credit. But think of it this way. Think about all the money that the city of St. Louis lost with the Rams, and part of that was the revenue that would have been generated is not generated, and then you have this big loss for everything else that went into the improvements, the convention center and the stadium and all of these things. It's a big, big loss over a long period of time, millions and millions lost. Now, think of it this way. 2 years of tax credits for the Major League Soccer Stadium. They're going to spend $400 million of their own money, and they're going to be buying their way into the league, local ownership. They're going to be employing 636 permanent jobs and 2,000-plus temporary jobs, all of which is going to be putting revenue into that area. They're going to be generating revenue for people coming to the games. They're going to be generating revenue for other special events that are coming into there. And it's going to go long past those 2 years of the tax credit. And we're going to have this beautiful stadium, which they're going to be responsible for. This is such a great deal. I mean, what an awesome deal that they're putting together for the city of St. Louis. This is good news. Total project price tag sits at $461 million. The ownership group contributing nearly $400 million. I like it. I like it. This is good. Altogether, if you want to look at the long term, you know how much money this thing's going to generate? I'm not saying that anything's a sure bet, but this is about as sure as it gets. Major League Soccer in general, you got to be kidding me. Every area that has Major League Soccer right now is doing really well, some more than others. I mean, you have the, is it Atlantas and the Seattles of the world that are just doing phenomenal with it. I don't know where we're going to sit, but even if we're just an average club right down the middle, it's still going to generate a ton of cash for St. Louis. Now, is it going to be as much as the NFL? Not initially, no. I don't think the Major League Soccer League will ever find itself ranked as high as the NFL when it comes to generating revenue. It's just not, logically speaking, it's just not possible. However, if we see at least some of this supplemental income coming in from what was lost with the Rams, maybe some more money based on this lawsuit with the Rams, we can actually package this thing into being a win as opposed to a loss that we've seen for the last couple of years. Let me take some of your calls on this at 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Producer Mike texted in, are you saying kitty corner? Yeah, kitty corner. You say catty corner? I've always said kitty corner. You say catty corner? It might be a dialect thing. Either that or I've said it wrong my entire life. We'll take some of your calls coming up on Overnight America KMOX.
News Radio 1120 KMOX. The voice of the Cardinals. This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
Robot song. Welcome back to Overnight America. Well, when they did those renderings for the Major League Soccer Stadium, originally it was thought that the stadium was going to go right next to Union Station. All the development there would be right in a line, but instead it's kitty corner to it right across from Market
Street.
Stop
it!
There. What?
Everyone knows what I'm telling you to stop.
It's Kitty Corner to Union Station.
Kitty Corner sounds like a late night place in Amsterdam.
Wait, Kitty's Corner? There apparently, I had to do a quick search. There is a Kitty's Corner in Florissant, just so you know.
Yeah, but yeah. That's not what you're meaning to reference.
No, that's a term. That's a thing.
It's not Kitty Corner. It's Catty Corner.
No, it's the same thing. Kitty Corner. I've always heard it Kitty Corner.
Mm-hmm.
You've never heard it used that way?
No, because it's made up.
Kitty Corner.
Catty Corner.
It's the same thing, but Kitty Corner is more acceptable than Catty Corner.
Beg to differ.
Catty's like, ooh. You say it and it's all fancy. Ooh. This is more, you know, salt of the earth way to say it. You know, everyday blue collar way to say it.
Whatever you got to tell yourself.
I'm a man of the people. So I say it Kitty Corner. You don't say it Kitty Corner? Are you just saying this to harass me, or you don't say Kitty Corner?
Kitty Corner is not a thing.
Kitty Corner is a thing.
No, it's not.
All right. Thank you, Producer Mike. Brian, calling in from Florissant. Hi.
How you doing, Ryan?
Good.
To be politically correct, it's actually Kitty Catty Corner.
Well, get that right. Thank you. Well, finally, I guess we're both kind of right. Okay.
Yeah. You were talking about Stan Kroenke a little bit ago.
Yeah.
And one of the funniest things I have ever seen, listening to a Monday night football game just a couple weeks ago when L.A. was just getting destroyed by Baltimore,
mm-hmm.
and they had done a thing at halftime where they were welcoming everyone that was celebrating the 20th anniversary of the Rams winning the Super Bowl here in St. Louis.
Okay.
Well, Kurt Warner is doing the color of this game, and he turns to the announcer and says, Auntie M, we're not in St. Louis anymore. This is when they're losing 46-6.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was great.
Yeah, no kidding. I would too. Well, the whole idea of them leaving and doing their own thing or whatever it is, I get it. I get that was an option, but the way they did it was just wrong, and I can't wait
it's
for...
Terrible. I agree 100%. Yeah, we were just dumbfounded by the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. And they made us...
We've got the XFL now.
Aw. You know, I hope the XFL lasts. I really do. We'll
I don't
see.
Know. If it's going to last anywhere, it will probably be here.
You think
I
so?
I think.
Oh, okay. Well, they're getting pumped up. All right. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you, sir.
Bye. There it is. Monday Night Football. Kurt Warner doing his thing. Good for him. All right. Let me play this. I had to load this up on Google real quick. Let's see how Google pronounces it.
Kitty Corner.
Oh, that was it. Whoa. Did you hear that, Producer Mike? Hold on. Make sure you're listening in there.
Kitty Corner.
Wow, that's actually well-defined.
Kitty Corner.
That's not used in context.
Kitty Corner.
That's exactly what Google says.
Kitty Corner.
I think I'm saying it correctly.
Kitty Corner.
That doesn't sound like catty.
Kitty Corner.
Kitty Corner.
Kitty Corner.
For the next 8 minutes, we're just
Kitty Corner.
Playing this on a loop. That sounds like...
Kitty Corner.
That sounds like a comedian.
Kitty Corner.
It sounds... Who's that guy? The Nathan For You guy, doesn't it?
Kitty Corner.
It sounds just like him.
Kitty Corner.
Should I just do that on a loop from here on out, over and over and over again?
Kitty Corner.
Did you do some research?
Kitty Corner.
You may have opened my eyes. It looks like it might be less commonly used, but accurate.
Kitty Corner.
No, it's the number one in the hood. People use it all the time, man. I think it's totally acceptable to use that. I've never heard a catty corner until you just said it here.
Maybe it's a St. Louis or Midwestern, I don't know, Missouri thing.
Like a dialect.
Because I had never heard kitty, but sure enough.
So it's like the difference between pop and soda type of deal, something like that?
Yep. Kitty Corner.
What else do you want Google to say? Any other words you want me to look up?
Onomatopoeia. Do you know how to type that, though?
Not a clue. I'm going to just hope that the spell check works. All right, let's see. Well, it doesn't come up with a way to say it. Sorry, Google didn't. Oh, wait, hold on. Here we go.
Onomatopoeia.
That doesn't sound right, does it?
Onomatopoeia.
Onomatopoeia? Onomatopoeia.
That kind of sounds... That sounds like what you tell me when you're about to go take a break.
At the top of the hour, we're about to get to news. And I say, hey, Producer Mike.
Onomatopoeia.
Oh, thanks for that. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Yeah, there's a couple of political things that went down today with NATO. You hear it with the top of the hour, and CBS News has definitely been covering this sort of thing. So from NATO critic to defender, Trump calls the president of France, Macron's comments nasty. Well, that's interesting. Well, they've always had this relationship where they know that France should be an ally of ours, but we've had this sort of, you know, it's a little bit of friction. It's a little bit weird. I don't know the best way to pronounce it, but it's kind of like that one friend you have. They're still part of the friend's circle, but you would never call them to hang out with them individually. They're just only as part of the group of friends, but you would never go out of your way to hang out with that person, right? That's like the United States and France. They're in the same circles, but they're not like, let's go hang out, or let's go to the movies tonight or anything like that. So President Trump was out there, and, you know, there was one moment he mentioned this, sitting next to, here's a couple of different articles on it. Like, this is the NPR article I was looking at. Sitting next to each other with cameras rolling, President Trump and French President Emmanuel Macron made their differences known on trade, Turkey, Russia, ISIS, and the appropriate role for NATO. And there was one thing that he mentioned was kind of weird. Brain drain, did he say something like that? Like, here, brain death of NATO under U.S. leadership. This is, he was asked to clarify that.
I know that my statements created some reactions and shake a little bit. A lot of people, I do stand by. When we speak about NATO, it's not just about money. We have to be respectful.
All right. It's not just about money. We have to do what's respectful. Well, kind of. I mean, when you make it about, hey, Uncle Moneybags, United States of America, if we're going to make it about money for them, like, you know, hey, we're the ones that are writing all the checks, then it kind of is about money, you know, kind of when they don't want to, like, you know, step up to the table. I get it. Here's another one, like President Trump on the Kurds.
No, not only have we not left the Kurds, we're working with the Kurds. We have a very good relationship with the Kurds. And we've taken the oil. I've taken the oil. We should have done it in other locations, frankly, where we were. I can name four of them right now. But we've taken the oil, and that oil is what they lived off of. And that was going to be taken away from them. But now our great soldiers are right around the oil. We've got the oil. But if we didn't have it, they wouldn't be able to survive. The Kurds wouldn't be able to survive.
Yeah. All right. So we're still looking at that sort of thing. But probably the biggest dust-up, and I wanted to play this for you, when it comes to disagreements, if you really don't appreciate with how the United States is handling things, I think the president really made it clear here.
Would you like some nice ISIS fighters?
Look,
I can give them to you. You can take everyone you want.
Let's be serious. A very large number of fighters you have on the ground are the fighters coming from Syria, from Iraq. Your number one problem are not the foreign fighters. This is the ISIS fighters in the region. And you have more and more of these fighters due to the situation today.
This is why he's a great politician, because that was one of the greatest non-answers I've ever heard.
All right. This is what he says. Okay. Look what the United States does for fighting terror around the world and continues to do. And they take out the number one of ISIS just a month ago. And, you know, he goes and sits down with NATO and say, oh, you don't think the United States contributes? You don't think we do anything? Okay, you want me to send some more ISIS fighters your way? You want me to just, you know, you want me to just go hands off and you can handle this sort of thing? I mean, listen.
Would you like some nice ISIS fighters?
Yeah, you don't appreciate what we're doing, huh? You don't think we're doing our fair share? Do you want some nice ISIS fighters? That's the way I took it. And then at the very end, when he was, you know, normally this is the point where they would realize, okay, you got to give credit where credit is due for what the United States will do in situations like this. When he doesn't do that, I love how President Trump directs these comments.
You have more and more of these fighters due to the situation today.
This is why he's a great politician, because that was one of the greatest non-answers I've ever heard.
Oh, boy. Love it. Way to go, President Trump. I actually like that. 314-436-7900 is the number. Is that Wynn who's calling in? Hello, Wynn.
Yeah, that's Wynn.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
I was just listening, and your argument about the caddy and the kitty.
Yes.
I grew up in Chicago till I was 13,
mm-hmm.
and then we moved back to St. Louis. And in Chicago, everybody said kitty cornered.
Yeah.
And when we got back to St. Louis, it was caddy cornered.
Oh.
And I've never heard anybody from is a true St. Louis and call it kitty cornered. But I never heard of Chicago and call it caddy cornered.
I know. So, see, I grew up outside
Chicago's
Detroit.
Caddy,
always. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Chicago's caddy and St. Louis is kitty. Now you know it's the other way around.
Now
Chicago's
I learned it.
Chicago's kitty, St. Louis is caddy.
Thank you for that clarification. Thank you, Wynn.
Okay.
All right.
You're
bye.
Welcome.
Kitty corner.
You hear that? Guess what Wynn said?
Kitty corner.
That's how you know from where we're at. Randy in St. Louis. Hi.
All right. The great Google machine says that it's C-A-D-D-Y, caddy corner. It means diagonally opposite and based on a French word for corner.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also say that caddy with C-A-T-T-Y and K-I-T-T-Y or K-I-T-T-I-Y is the acceptable.
Yeah.
But the original is caddy, so us prideful Midwesterners are correct.
No, I'm a man of the people, Randy. I like to keep my feet planted on the ground and say the things that the people say, which is kitty corner. Like if you go
what?
Down, yeah, if you go down to the factories, if you go down and, you know, the real salt of the earth type of people, anyone I've met, it's always kitty corner.
Well, every time I hear you Chicagoans saying kitty corner, I keep thinking of stuff that people get arrested for. So you need to stop doing it.
What do people get arrested for? I don't understand. What's
it
the
just sounds like you're saying kitty porn.
What?
Yeah,
where do you get that?
Every time you say it, that's what I'm thinking. Oh, my God, I'm going to get arrested just by listening to the radio station.
Oh, my, you're in trouble now. The FBI is on to you. They're already tracking this line back to you. Oh, you're in trouble now.
I got one more thing for you. When I was going into work last night, you were talking about the red light numbers and everything like that.
Yeah.
If you could go through that one more time, and I just want to tell you that my father was an alderman in a very small Arkansas town of about 30,000. And they, one of those companies came to the city and said, we will supply them all. We will install them. We will monitor them. We will do all the work. We want half the money. And so that little town said, okay, we do nothing. And we just increased our budget. And it was a huge moneymaker.
Oh yeah. That's all it is. It's a moneymaker. It's meant for them to, you know, ticket through, what is it, tax through ticket? Is that the title? Yeah, tax through ticket. And it's a thing that people hate, but the governments look at and say, easy money. And it's another way look at these private companies siphoning money off of us, too. What a lousy way to allow these people to come in and just take advantage of the people of St. Louis. I'll go through those stats again right after the break, okay?
All right, thanks, bud.
Thanks, Randy. Right. Bye. Yeah, I went through and I dug a little bit deeper into the MoDOT stats when it came to red light cameras and the debate that's going on. I'll read some more of those stats coming up next. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Oh, we got a couple of minutes here. I want to thank our last caller who was asking about some of those statistics I did yesterday. Was it Randy? I think it was Randy, yeah. So Randy heard the show last night, and it was my first night back after having the Thanksgiving week off. And I had a little bit more time to think about these red light cameras and some of the statistics that were thrown out there as a way to justify, oh, we need these red light cameras in right away, make it sound like it's a public health emergency. So I wanted to dig a little bit deeper into it. I saw the statistics online tweeted out from the mayor's office, and I couldn't find them. So I had to dig a little bit deeper. Now, he eventually got back to me. It was Jacob Long, who now works with them. He used to work in TV. And he puts these statistics out. And to me, they're so deceptive. And I want to get him on the show. I gave him an invite. I said, if you want to come on the show to discuss these things, I'd like to have you. He hasn't taken me up on it yet. Hopefully he does. But this is what he tweeted out. In the last 3 years, 2012, 13, and 14, the city of St. Louis government had red light cameras. We saw 117 roadway fatalities in the 3 years after the cameras, 16, 17, and 18. The numbers jumped 46% to 171 deaths. Pedestrian deaths also climbed 54% during that same time period. So using these percentages, whoa, 48%, 46%, 54%, whoa, I wanted to go look at this. Now, there's a reason why he's using a three-year average for these things, because it makes the numbers, inflates them to make them look like it's a much more giant epidemic than it really is. In fact, let's honestly look at these numbers. And the thing that I think that we need to point out, and I think the thing that is needs to be pointed out when it comes to the discussion of these red light cameras, if it is, we're going to stop people from running these red lights, and we're going to stop people from speeding. They install these things where? At red lights, okay? So by the nature of red light cameras, they put them at red lights, and they put these sensors in, and they're trying to find ways where they can make it and retrofit it to what the Missouri Supreme Court said you can and can't do in order to revive these things, and it's such a terrible idea. So let's look year by year. And let's just go in reverse order. Now, MoDOT didn't have the 2018 stats posted online. When I got the numbers from the city spokesperson, he sent me the Missouri Highway Patrol numbers, which matched MoDOT. So the 2018 I haven't seen posted yet, but we can go to 2017. Of the 57 roadway fatalities in 2017, 11 of those occurred at intersections that have signals. 11 of those at signaled intersections. Okay. So over the course of an entire year in the city of St. Louis, there were 11 of these fatalities that happened. And there's a few things we don't know. Number one, we don't know if there were even cameras installed at those intersections. There's no way to tell if there was other outside factors, including drinking, distracted driving, drugs, if it was unavoidable, if, you know, whatever. Malfunctions, medical emergencies, all those things. We don't know. We also don't know if these red light cameras not being activated had anything to do with any of these things, because they really don't. Okay? But then and again, if we're going to go out there and we're going to start taxing people and we're going to start harassing and just going out there and giving a hard time to all the people driving through the city of St. Louis with all of these cameras installed, they're trying to make it sound like this is a giant health epidemic for 11 people that we have no other clarification of the circumstances, 11 people that have died. 11. Now, I'm not saying we should minimize those that have lost their life. Well, what I'm saying is, what other problems in the city of St. Louis haven't they tackled yet, but all of a sudden they're going heavy and hard on red light cameras? Have they fixed the drug situation? Have they fixed the shootings? Have they fixed... Okay, how many things can you name ahead of the problems that we have in the city of St. Louis that you would say, okay, now we can address the people that are running through yellow lights and we should send them tickets automatically? In 2016, there were 9 people that were killed at signalized intersection crashes. Nine. And they want to install red light cameras all across the city of St. Louis. It's not going to prevent anything. The sample size is so low, so when they go out there and say, oh, 50% increase, it's such a low sample size. It's so, so deceptive in the way that they're packaging this. This is Overnight America.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.